Well, good morning and welcome to the Dave Mahoney Morning Show. Hope everyone's past 24 hours was a good one. We have gotten through a week, I think, right?
This week actually went kind of fast. Don't you feel like that or no? Am I the only one?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
It's faster for me because I thought yesterday was
Wednesday.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like I gained a week gained a day this week, which I guess I kind of feels the same way.
Right.
Every day
we did a Facebook
like a
yesterday and you put it's the Wednesday live edition of the Dave Mahoney Morning Show on our Facebook page. And it was Thursday yesterday, man.
These things happen, man.
It's okay. Everybody's confused.
Yeah. Well, welcome to the Friday show. Thanks for being with us today. We got some good news and some bad news to get things going. What would you like first there, Mahoney?
Dave, why don't we start off with some bad news today?
Well, so this is a little awkward. There is a small town in Illinois, and the mayor this past weekend on Sunday was sending police officers to break up social gatherings that are being held in violation of the governor's coronavirus stay-at-home order, only to find that his wife was among one of the partiers.
Oh, rut-row.
Uh-oh. So the mayor issued a statement on Facebook apologizing to the community, saying that he was instructing the town's police chief to treat his wife as they would any citizen violating the stay-at-home order to ensure that she received no special treatment. I am embarrassed by this incident and apologize to the citizens of Alton for any embarrassment this has caused our city. Yeah, Alton. You heard of it? Yeah.
Oh, it's right outside St. Louis. It's just a bridge away, man. So, of course, it was the mayor of Alton's wife that was out. I mean, honestly, before the shutdown, there was not much to do in Alton besides drink. So I imagine with the shutdown, the only thing to do there is drink.
So here's what's kind of nuts, though, is that the party was happening at a tavern, at Hiram's Tavern in downtown Alton. So it's not like they were just at somebody's house. Said it had continued operating on the weekends in violation of the governor's orders. So good move,
guys.
Oh,
my gosh. So police officers must hate her husband.
Yeah. I mean,
my goodness.
Talk about an awkward dinner for the following few days at the house, Shannon, did you enjoy the party? Have you enjoyed the fact that you've embarrassed me in front of the entire country? But sure enough, the owner of the rogue drinking establishment was found to have an active warrant for his arrest out for domestic battery. He was hauled off to jail. The town's mayor reminded his constituents that there's a deadly pandemic going on. The fact that anyone would have to remind anyone that there is a deadly pandemic going on right now is ridiculous, but here we are.
Jeez. Yeah, I'm not shocked. You know, I don't think it's, when you talk about a city, I mean, calling Alton a city is a very,
that's a
liberal use of that word. It's a town with a bridge that's right near St. Louis. So that's pretty much what Alton is.
Hold on, let me look into Alton here. The population is pretty small, so 26,725 in Alton proper. And I'm looking at some images here, and it looks terrible. Yeah, it looks like a really awful place to live.
The only thing nice is the bridge. Jeez. The bridge is really nice.
Come to
Alton.
Is it a nice bridge?
Alton? Yeah,
is it called
nice
Alton?
Yeah, Alton. Yeah, if you've seen that bridge that they have, those suspension bridges in like Boston and Charleston, South Carolina, really cool looking bridges, and just the way they're designed are pretty neat. But yeah, Alton has one of those. But outside of that, it really looks like a dump that floods all the time.
Pretty much.
Yikes.
I don't think Alton. I think it's technically a little higher, so I don't know if they flood all the time. But,
no. I mean, if you just Google Alton, Illinois, and then you search the images,
there
like
a lot of
first
there lately.
The first 15 images are Midwest rivers recede, flooding continues in Alton. So
all right.
Whoops.
Fair enough.
So that's the bad news. Some good news today, and this also has to do with drinking, but in a different way. A Georgia bar owner says the tradition of customers stapling dollar bills to the business walls is allowing her to distribute almost $4,000 to her now out of work staff. So you've seen a bunch of bars like that over the years, right? Where they have people sticking dollar bills and sometimes they'll jot little messages and staple them up there. Well, she said, look, I know it's really hard times right now for all of my staff. So she went into her establishment, and it's called the Sandbar in Tybee Island, and said that they've been writing their names and other messages on the dollar bills and staple them to the walls for the past 15 years. Mm. She said it's time to go ahead and do something with it. So she was able to collect $3,714 from the walls, and customers who heard about her efforts also kicked in a little extra, so bringing the total up another $300 or so, $400 almost, $4,100, she said, is a total amount Said donations are still coming in from the public, but a pretty cool idea to be able to hook up her bartenders by taking all of the dollar bills off the walls with almost $4,000.
You know what, though? Those bills, they kind of get, like, disintegrated. Like, I'm surprised they haven't disintegrated over time. Because we used to do that in the bar that I worked at. And mm-hmm. we would take them down, and they would turn, like, crusty dust. Ugh. Like, literally, like, in your hands when you take them down from the walls.
In other news, Audrey used to steal the dollar bills off of the wall that the bar she used to work
at. Hell yeah!
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Hey, it's Mahoney, and I have a favor to ask of you right now. If you're listening to the podcast on Apple Podcasts or the Google Play Store or the radio.com app, whatever platform it may be, please go rate us and leave a review. It will help us immensely right now while we're all on home quarantine. We really appreciate it, and thank you guys so much for listening. You're the best.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Good morning, everyone. Irish wristwatch, Irish wristwatch, Irish wristwatch. Your turn.
Message deleted.
No.
Ooh.
Wait, what was it? Irish wristwatch?
Yeah. Okay, she failed already.
Yeah.
Irish watch.
I'm not good.
Nailed it. Nailed it. All right.
It. Irish
Irish wristwatch.
Irish wristwatch. I can't do it. Irish wrist. Oh, my
wrist.
God.
You got to reset
it's
your
wrist.
Tongue.
It's wrist. Yeah. Irish wristwatch. I really pause.
You can't
Irish
pause for 4
Irish
seconds.
Irish wristwatch.
Irish wristwatch. Irish wristwatch. Irish wristwatch. Irish wristwatch. Yes, I'm doing it.
You're doing it. You're doing it. You're doing it.
I was doing it. I'm
still Irish wristwatch.
Yeah.
There he is.
That's it. That's correct, right?
Yeah. Oh. So bad, though.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Is this getting old to any of you? The whole broadcasting from home thing. Have any of you thought or of just not showing up one day? Like, what are they going to do if you don't?
Message deleted.
No, because I like my job.
Yeah, we could still get fired. Yeah. Even though we're at home, it's like Friday. How did you get fired on your day off? Even though it's technically not our day off.
Yeah, I mean, there's like 47 people in the entire country that still have a job, and we are lucky enough to be one of them right now, so we are not going to poke the bear, if you will. We are going to continue to show up and be happy about it every single day.
No, and we are. And we
so
are.
Happy to be here.
Like, we are very happy, but I am scared. Yeah. There is, because my sleeping habits have changed a little bit since we don't have to commute into the station anymore, and, you know, I just move, you know, from my bedroom down to my office.
I mean, even when we were going into the studio, it's not like you were taking 4 different city buses and the blue line to get in. I mean,
you don't know how I got to work.
It's a 4-minute drive. Yes, I do, in your Toyota.
You don't know.
Yes, I do. You park right next to me every day.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Mahoney, if you think a velociraptor was the size of a turkey, do you think a T-Rex was, like, a lot smaller than it's portrayed too? Like, what if a T-Rex is, like, the size of the T-Rex from, like, Toy Story?
Message deleted.
No, I mean, we have bones to go off it. It's just you are listening to movies as opposed to paying attention to what science has actually dug out of the ground, dummy. And velociraptors, yes, there are bigger raptors, but the velociraptors in particular were the size of a turkey and weighed about 35 to 40 pounds, man. So they were just birds. They were just big-ass birds.
Yeah,
and I would mess up a bird. I'll cook a velociraptor for Thanksgiving if it wants to start talking
trash. No, you won't.
Trash.
No, you don't have a smoker. You don't have a smoker, so you can't.
I can put it in the oven.
Secondly,
too big.
Like,
too big.
I mean, first off, the velociraptors did have teeth and you know, claws and everything else. Like, you would not mess
hippo
up.
Would still beat it.
Well, I would agree that the hippo would still beat it. However, I think that you would get eaten by a velociraptor. You personally would lose. In fact, I think that you would lose in a fight to a turkey. Just a regular, normal turkey.
Turkeys are like aliens. That little—I mean, their whole face looks like genitalia. I mean, if we're being honest,
yeah.
Really no one wants to go near that.
Yeah,
you would get pecked to death by the scrotum chin. That and then that's the last thing that you would see as you were dying is just hey, quit it, man, just kill me.
Stop the Mahoney Morning Show weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So coronavirus has left at least 10% of America's workforce unemployed. When you think about the fact that there is, 16.8 million Americans out of work in just 3 weeks, that is some heavy stuff. So, obviously the economy is brought to a standstill and, we're seeing different stories about, the economy reopening in phases potentially as we get into the month of May. But exactly when the different cities are going to be able to fire back up, that's still yet to be seen. So the staggering number of first-time claims was on top of the more than 10 million applications filed in the last 2 weeks of March. It means more than 1 in 10 American workers have now lost their jobs as tough measures have try to stop the coronavirus as it gets going. But the real number is likely even much higher than that because many states are still trying to figure out how to actually get in touch with all the people that are now unemployed. So, we see it at 16.8, meaning one out of 10. It's probably significantly higher than that.
You would think so that we've talked to a couple of our friends who unfortunately have been laid off or furloughed, and they're having problems, depending on the state that they're in, getting a hold of the unemployment office. And that's a real problem. Obviously, nobody was expecting an influx of, the fact that we went from, what was it, like 2 or 3% to now we're sitting, like you said, damn near 1 in 10. So now in 10% in just under 3 weeks. So hopefully they will continue to be able to get these people processed and get them the help that they need in these trying times.
So there is a company that is overseas called We Hear Medical in China, and they sell medical supplies, and they are selling medical grade masks, and they are charging 353% more than they normally do because they know there's a demand for them right now. So really cool look there, We Hear Medical. The distributor said the company has also switched to only selling packs of 200 top-grade medical masks rather than the usual packs of 20. The document lists quotes to four different kinds of masks, including those N95s that we've all probably learned a lot more about than we anticipated. There's also a couple of different respirators that are used in Europe and a medical non-woven mask with a 99% filtration rate. And again, these masks are normally for a 200-pack, $164. They are now selling them for $744. So,
and this is China who's doing this?
A Chinese company, yeah. Yeah. So.
Cool.
Not a great look.
How about
not
you give them to us for free?
Yeah. It's,
after infecting
brutal.
The entire world.
Yeah, the real,
not this company look. Specifically, but still, like, maybe just find some compassion in your heart. Like
yeah.
Maybe just knock the price up.
Or just maybe just charge the normal amount as opposed to an almost 400% increase. Yeah.
The real, it's one thing if you have like the hottest toy in the world, like a hoverboard, and you're going to charge a stupid amount because it doesn't matter. And nothing
people
is
aren't
really
dying
affected.
If they don't have a hoverboard. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or a Tickle Me Elmo. But when it comes to, personal protective equipment, that
I
is.
Need you, to be touched.
It really shows you people's true colors. It's gross, man. It really is. And, I hope these prospective governments, China is, they don't give a damn pretty much about anything besides power and controlling their populace. But maybe somebody will step in and slap these guys around because that's what's needed of a company that's
doing
that.
No, they won't,
because
the people who were trying to slap them around, they were literally in the streets getting shot down.
Man.
So that didn't go well 3 months ago. That was only 3 months ago, by the way.
Celebrities and politicians with large social media followings are proving to be key distributors of misinformation relating to the coronavirus, according to a study that suggests that fact checkers and mainstream news outlets are struggling to compete with the reach of influencers. For example, a couple of celebrities like Woody Harrelson, which this is surprising to me, and MIA, the singer, have faced criticism. Is it MIA or Mia? It's MIA, right?
MIA, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yes, and they were spreading rumors about the 5G conspiracy.
The 5G, yeah. If you don't know the 5G conspiracy, there was...
Which I'm hearing about this all over the place.
Yeah, so it was the idea that the 5G networks that are being launched are what are spreading the coronavirus, which is just the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But research by Oxford Reuters Institute for the Study of Journalism found that while politicians, celebrities, and other prominent public figures were responsible for producing or spreading 20% of false claims about coronavirus, their posts accounted for 69% of total social media engagement. So the issue has gained extra prominence as people, specifically over in the UK, began vandalizing mobile phone masts in recent days and wildly sharing the baseless claims linked to the virus and 5G. Hey, you morons, communication is actually really a pretty important, essential thing right now. And so don't tear down the cell phone towers because you believe something that you saw on MIA's Instagram page. What are you doing?
Woody Harrelson's Facebook.
Who gets high like paper planes. Like, that's and like also, quite literally one of her songs.
I mean, Woody Harrelson, I really fancy to be much smarter than this. I really like him as an actor.
But he's a complete weirdo, though. That's I mean, I love Woody Harrelson, but not, this is really
There's a difference
dumb.
Between being a complete weirdo and a total moron. I mean, this just, I don't know, man.
I mean, don't listen to us either. You know, I mean, listen to scientists. Listen, do some fact-checking. When you hear something and you're like, that can't be true, or, you know, before you start forming an opinion, like, take it, and like, for you and me, like, anytime I hear something, like, it sounds outlandish, what do I do immediately? I start to, like, I'll Google it, and I'll look.
You start to repeat it, and it doesn't matter what anyone says, no. And you'll scream it louder than anyone in the room. Yes. Yes.
I mean, that is accurate.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Like, one Google. Just one Google. That's all you gotta do.
There's
one.
Plenty of fact-checking websites out there. Snopes is a good example of one.
Say it louder. Say it louder.
It's people whose lifetime goal is to own a fireworks stand. It's the Redneck Report.
So a 43-year-old woman in Florida gets accused of placing plastic Easter eggs that contain corn in residents' mailboxes and told arresting deputies that she was quote-unquote educating people.
Oh, that's what it
the,
is.
The body anatomy?
Yeah. She was arrested by the county deputies overnight and charged with multiple counts of distributing obscene material. Look, I'm no prude when it comes to this stuff. I don't really care what you do as an adult in your own private space and what you decide to consume. But hey man, like, there's like kids around. Like, there's yep. there's
and you're putting
on this,
it in the Easter eggs, which right around this time, right around Easter,
straight
you know,
kids.
Yes, this
it's
your
it's targeting kids. Like, you're disgusting.
And if you want to make sure to feel if your feelings are right about this, just imagine it was an old guy doing it rather than just a woman. So, like I said, it's everybody would be like, yeah, lock that guy up. And same thing for this lady. She is obviously
perturbed. Don't even like unsolicited pics in our DMs, let alone our mailboxes.
Well, and so let me just further how creepy this is. So there was a bunch of people who said that their mailbox flag was left in the up position, and when they looked inside, they found a plastic Easter egg that contained a goldfish cracker, a sheet of toilet paper, some powdered drink mix, and a piece of paper with a pornographic image on it.
No.
Yeah.
What kind of, yeah, what mess? And she's 43. Like, get it together. Dude, like, this isn't like some like teenage boy or girl thinking that this is a funny hoax. Like, this is a grown ass woman.
Yeah, and then
Ian,
when the deputies found her. Yeah, when the deputies found her, she had a bag full of pornographic material in her car. If you could describe how she looked for us, Ian.
I'd say on a scale of 1 to 10, if from an Ian scale, I would say about a 4. But it's a solid 4. She seemed a little whack.
So
let's just say that.
Take 43 and then multiply 4. That by 2 is how old she actually looks. I mean, like, when you're like, you look at somebody and they look like they look that rough at 43, you go, wow, there has been some real problems this person's dealt with over the years. Yep. You know, drugs and abuse and who knows what else. But man, that's a rough looking 43.
I'm mad she's wasting sheets of toilet paper and goldfish.
Right? Yeah. What are you doing, man? That's some valuable stuff right there. So, the
powdered drink mix that, like, makes it look like what, anthrax or something. That's the that part really throws me too. You know, I mean, like, the toilet paper and the goldfish don't throw me, but like then when you put the powdered drink mix in there, you're like, nah, man. Which, yeah.
So a Missouri father has been charged with accidentally shooting and wounding his 8-year-old son. Thankfully, the child is going to be just fine. But this comes after the 45-year-old was giving his sons, 6 and 8 years old, a lesson on gun safety. And then he ended up shooting one of his kids accidentally when he was putting the gun away. So, you know, maybe 6 and 8 years old, a little young to be given gun safety classes to. Maybe just keep the guns
away
locked
and high.
Up, under lock and key, away from the children as a whole. So during the interview, the man reportedly admitted to accidentally shooting his son. He explained that he had been giving his children a brief lesson on gun safety because they were asking questions about the firearms.
Jeez Louise. You know what, though? I do think gun safety is incredibly important.
Of course it is.
I don't. I think maybe like not doing it like in your home, like maybe going out somewhere, like, and still at the same time, like there's so many levels and layers to this. Everybody has their own personal opinion on all of this in general, but just doing it in close quarters where there's too much room for error, I'm not down with that.
Well, what we should all learn from this. I mean, there's never a thing that's too much gun safety. There really isn't. You know, the more you know, the safer you'll be. You know, plain and simple when it comes to that.
So a Kentucky doctor has been charged with strangling a teenage girl and shoving her friends because they weren't practicing social distancing. I don't think you're doing this right. His name is John Radmaker. He's 57 years old. He's a doctor. Was charged Tuesday with first-degree strangulation and 3 counts of harassment with physical contact on April 3rd. This is in the North Commons Amphitheater. The Louisville Police Department had to step in. He is a physician and had been placed on administrative leave pending further investigation, according to witnesses. The altercation began at about 8:30 p.m. last Friday when the man and a woman approached 9 teenagers who were sitting at the Lakefront Amphitheater about 20 minutes outside of Louisville. The teenagers, who were defying the homes or the state stay-at-home order established to curtail the spread of the virus, immediately waved off the adults, who were then cursing at them and screaming at them for not adhering to the CDC's social distancing recommendations. Look, John, I know that this is a stressful time for everyone. And I get that you want everyone to be safe and practice safe social distancing. If you see a group of teenagers all gathering, though, and this is a larger group than there should be, and they're all hanging out together when they shouldn't be, the answer is probably not to physically strangle them. I'm just going to guess. I'm going to put that out there.
Not only that, but you are now becoming into the social distancing equation. You're adding more people to the circumference, and you're touching them.
Yep.
You're touching them very close to their face, and you're a doctor.
All of these dumb things that we continue to hear about, they're all so counterproductive. You're like, you're sick, now I'm going to beat you. Like, so I'm going to get closer.
I'm going to get your blood and bodily fluids all over me to teach you a lesson that you shouldn't be out and about when you're sick.
Yes, the thing that spreads it the most, your sweat, your spit, your everything that you know that comes from
fluids.
Physical altercations. Mm-hmm. How about this? Oh my God, you're sick. I'm going to run away, and then just run away
and yell really mean things over my shoulder while I'm running away.
Yes. Yeah. You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So Zoom has now hired the ex-Facebook security chief, as Google has banned the desktop app. So we've seen Google say, yeah, no more Zoom. There's been a bunch of school districts around the country saying, yep, no more Zoom. The U.S. Senate has banned Zoom because there's all these security concerns. And so Zoom has now tapped the former Facebook chief as an advisor as safety and privacy concerns about its fast-growing video conferencing app drive a global backlash against the company. So, man, Zoom really kind of had the world by the tailpipe, and then all of a sudden there's all these concerns of people busting in and bombing these Zoom conference calls that a lot of people are using for sensitive work information, and now as a result you're just seeing a lot of these companies ban the use of it. So yeah, there's been a big swing back the other direction now, just right after we saw that Zoom seemed to be the thing that everyone was going to be using moving forward.
Well, so the thing would that's you the, want to the, hire
The irony of this is, why would you hire the Facebook? I mean, like, if you're thinking about
sites
that are known for security, why would you think that Facebook's guy would be the dude to hire? Why don't you hire the guy from Equifax to handle your security next? You know, like you're picking some of the worst possible people when it comes with name brand recognition. Facebook is not one place we go to and go, you know what, I feel like all of my data is really secure with old Facebook.
So speaking of Facebook, they're kind of desperate to try to get the next generation that's on the way up interested in their platform again, because safe to say that it's mostly older people that use Facebook now. And I mean, there's still a younger audience that is on Facebook, but as far as being actively engaged and excited about the social media platform. And so now there's talks that Facebook may be returning to its roots as a social platform specifically aimed at people in college, which is how, of course, it all started.
Smart.
Yeah, there's a feature called Campus, which would only be accessible to college students and would require an email address ending in EDU. So once a user is signed up, they can reportedly create a profile with their major and their minor, their graduation year, and what dorm they're staying in order to help find friends.
Ew, cool. Hate that. Ugh. I don't like that. I don't think that's safe at all. Nobody should know what dorm and specifically that you're staying in. That's how you get stalkers. I mean, and that's not okay.
That's creepy.
Yeah,
well,
that's super
creepy. The genesis of Facebook in and of itself was creepy as hell. Was so Mark Zuckerberg could go creep on chicks. That is how
whether or not they were single
came to be. That is literally how it came about. So there's no chance. I mean, like, once a website and once a service is dead to a generation, there is zero chance it ever comes back. I mean, there is no chance that the young people will go, well, you know what?
MySpace,
I'm going to adopt
Zynga.
Facebook, even though, you know, yeah, all of those are gone and dead. AOL Instant Messenger have all gone by the wayside.
They tried to bring MySpace back. I mean, Justin Timberlake was an owner, and he's like, oh, we're going to have all this cool music. And
Justin Timberlake cannot bring back the resurgence of MySpace, quite literally, it's dead.
He brought sexy back, but he couldn't bring MySpace back.
Nope.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
If you could choose to add any celebrity to your quarantine, who would it be and why? Audrey, tell me if you're on board with this one. Barbara said Henry Cavill, just so he could sit in the corner and smile at me.
Henry Cavill? Let me see, because why is that not ringing a bell?
Superman, he's the Witcher.
Yeah.
He was in one of the Mission Impossible movies with a badass mustache that was beautiful that they did a lot of CGI on.
Oh, Mr. Henry.
He is a handsome guy, yeah.
Yeah. Sitting in the corner might be creepy, but maybe a light conversation.
Joe said after watching the documentary on Netflix, Bill Murray, hands down. The guy just brings a positive vibe, which we could all use right now. Is there a Bill Murray documentary on Netflix? I didn't know that, but I'm a big fan of Bill Murray. So,
I didn't know that either.
I haven't watched that yet either. Ian, have you seen that?
No, I haven't. I am familiar with it, though. It's definitely on my list of things to watch. But Bill Murray, I feel like after a couple of days, would start being kind of a jerk to you.
I want him to just show up to a party and then leave. And then that's it, you know? Like, we don't need to live together.
Then it turns into
Zombieland.
Yeah, the best Bill Murray is where he walks through at a golf tournament, does a shot, misses a putt, throws his putter and then walks off, and you're like,
exactly,
greatest Bill Murray experience ever.
It's tequila too, right?
Easy. Yeah, it's something with some kick to it. But the thing with Bill Murray is that if you live with him right now, I mean, he was the guy from Groundhog's Day, so it would be a little eerie. This one, Amanda said, I would say Shia LaBeouf. I feel like he would make things very, very interesting. And it would feel more normal to me than it does right now.
You guys,
I don't know if I could handle the crazy. I don't know if I could handle the crazy.
He's off the booze right now, which, I mean, was the catalyst and was the fuel for a lot of his craziness. But, I mean, you know, a lot of people are going through a lot of stuff, being in quarantine, not being able to leave, all that sort of stuff. So, I mean, if there was ever a time for somebody to relapse and go back to drinking, now is the time.
True. It's a real test of your sobriety for sure.
Absolutely.
Jared said Ryan Reynolds. He's funny, he's smart, and he'll make a great wingman once the quarantine is lifted. Jared, you do not want Ryan Reynolds as your wingman.
Anywhere near your wife. Nope.
Yeah, you are.
Well, Mr. Steal
well,
Your Girl,
actually,
for sure.
Actually, maybe we're wrong on that. Maybe if you just like hang around and like take the runoff of Ryan Reynolds with all of the chicks that are going to be flocking to him.
They're just going to be so disappointed. They're like, fine.
You're fine.
Can I take Ryan and his wife, like Blake Lively, too? Like, both of them are so cool. I love Blake.
Do you remember when he was married to Scarlett Johansson?
For like a
that?
Day.
Yes.
So bizarre.
And
I hate that memory. I hate it. Don't bring it up.
Do you also remember him married to Alanis Morissette?
Yes, I do. Oh my
that
god,
dude, that dude has—he has dated like every Canadian, like famous Canadian actress, singer, hot chick in the world.
Wait, is there more than Alanis Morissette?
No, I mean that was just like Alanis Morissette's Blake Lively and Scarlett Johansson, which are, you know,
by the way,
super
Alanis
hot,
looks
hot.
Amazing. She just came out with some new music, and she looks so good.
Yeah,
like one of my first memories. I remember being in like sixth grade, I believe it was. I was staying over at a buddy's house, and we were trying to watch the old Scramble Channel, if you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And we got our hands on, I believe it was the 1994 Playmate of the Year edition, which had Anna Nicole Smith, which,
vintage.
You know, I mean, just, nice. You know, right in that era was, you know, I mean, she was the second coming of Marilyn Monroe. Yeah. But I still remember watching, you know, what is it, You Ought to Know on, we were watching MTV. Ooh. Actually, no, we weren't even watching MTV. We were watching The Box, which if anybody remembers The Box, which was the bootleg MTV where you would call a 900 number to get the song you wanted played on the TV.
No, I don't remember this.
I thought that was the Scramble Channel that you were talking about.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
But that was a moment where I go, Alanis Morissette forever will always be.
And like Audrey said, man, she's still got it. Like, she's still touring. Right. She looks great. Her music still sounds awesome. I don't know if she's coming out with any good new stuff, but in my opinion, she's
Yeah, Reasons Why I Drink is really good.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
So if you could choose to add any celebrity to your quarantine, who would it be and why? You can text us at 73100. This one makes a whole lot of sense to me. Jason said Danny Tanner. Reasons are obvious, duh. Yeah, so Bob Saget's character from Full House. Danny Tanner, he just used to clean all day, every day. And he was such a good house dad. Like, I get it with Danny
so
Tanner.
Nice.
I get it.
Yeah, he was like real life Bob Saget, we love, but no, I don't want to be quarantined with Bob Saget because I feel like he's gonna come for me. You know,
there was
Bob,
two that
like you don't want to get on Bob Saget's bad side because he will straight up cut a bitch.
He will. He's actually pretty brutal in his comedy stand-ups.
Oh, I love Bob Saget, and you know, and if you did not watch BoJack Horseman, watch BoJack Horseman. It's like if Danny Tanner went off the went off the deep end. It's one of the best shows on TV. Let me throw you mine, and let me tell you why. Because I want to encompass all of the needs that I think we would want covered in a quarantine, and I'm going with Martha Stewart.
Of course you are.
I mean, Martha Stewart is just one of the most beautiful women who has ever lived in the history of the world. Two, she is one of the best cooks ever. And three, if everything goes to hell, we have no power, and I need a real life MacGyver that can make a hand grenade out of a pine cone, Martha Stewart is my road dog.
And she's got street cred. She's been to jail. She's not afraid to mess around with people in the street.
Yeah, you need to know how to sharpen a toothbrush? I got you.
out of some soap, too.
And it also gets rid of plaque, too. She's that good.
Are very different, but yet somehow kind of the perfect blend, I think, of Martha Stewart. Matt said Gary effing Busey because it would never get boring. And then Angel said Mary Poppins for the win, for sure. Like, I need my house
clean. She's got everything in that bag.
Yeah, she said. Or the Angela Lansbury from Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
Say Murder, She Wrote. I was like, you do not want Angela Lansbury from Murder, She Wrote because everybody dies. How many people die around Angela Lansbury and Murder, She Wrote? Every week, there's somebody new dying.
She's
every week.
Yep.
She is. I bet she did them all.
This one, Holly said Dave Grohl. I don't feel like anyone should be told why. They should just know. Joe said America's national treasure, Keanu Reeves, of course.
Oh,
I don't feel
he'd
like
be
Keanu
so
Reeves,
kind to you.
I just don't feel like he would have any practical use other than
just being like,
everything's okay, man.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
I would prefer John Wick.
He'd be good mental support.
Yeah.
I want the John Wick version of Keanu Reeves because, again, when stuff hits the fan, he can go murder 9 million people in a row. And, you know, I mean, obviously R.I.P. his dog. You know, I don't know if I would want to.
He's just sitting in the corner crying the entire time. You're like, I'm so sorry about your dog, man. you can go kill people soon.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
So if you could add any celebrity to your quarantine, who would it be and why? This one, Rachel Ray, hot, funny, and food.
I feel like that's a lesser Martha Stewart, in my opinion. But yeah, another good choice. I'm not saying that my choice is better than yours, but you know, it is.
Somebody did say Paula Deen because she knows how to do everything with butter.
Yeah, she's a little too racist for me.
Yeah.
This one said Tom MF Hanks. I mean, if he didn't actually have COVID-19, maybe.
Yeah, he's already done with it, man. So I mean, he's got a better chance of beating it off. So
yeah. What?
Okay.
So, the Rob texted us at Al Pacino because we know all the stories that he's played on screen, but it'd be really interesting to hear all of the stuff off. And when you think about somebody like an Al Pacino, I don't know if he's the best example. Which, by the way, Hunter's on Amazon Prime. I'm getting into it right now. It's pretty good. Yeah, kind of weird. You know, remember like Euphoria on HBO, how they just like would suddenly break into song? Yeah. Like that sort of happens in that show too, which is really strange to me. But
it's
about
that.
Nazi hunters, right?
Yeah, it's about Nazi hunters. And I guess it was actually kind of based on some stuff that actually happened. So interesting.
Okay.
But finding somebody like an Albright that has just amazing storytelling ability, when they could sit down and just, you're captured by what they're saying at any given moment, and they've got a lifetime of experience. Like, that would be a pretty good person to be locked up with. This one, I think, is a really maybe bad example. I don't know. Brock Lesnar. They say because he is the king of isolation and has above average survival skills. I mean,
and
I guess
if stuff
was going down, right? Like where we are right now is not the we need to kill everyone around us, thankfully. But Brock Lesnar made the list today. This one said fictional character here, but Hank Hill, best handyman. Uh-huh. And would never sleep with your wife, LOL.
Yes. I love Hank Hill.
Some values. He is the ideal American. Yes.
Plenty of propane. Yeah. Plenty of propane. You know, Dave, we've got a friend who does actually speaking tour with Al Pacino that goes all around the country. I don't know if you've ever seen that. Like, Al Pacino will just, he will sell out a theater and just go tell stories. He gets interviewed by one of our friends, Ernie Manous, who works down at, PBS in Houston. And he they became friends
years
ago.
It's just a story time thing. And they just sat, Al was interviewed by him. And he's like, hey, I just like the way that you do interviews. And he's like, join me on this tour. And he'll just go.
Wow, what an opportunity.
just go take over amphitheaters and Al will just sit there and tell stories. But
how awesome would that be to be paid to just tell stories? Like like you're gonna have like 3,000 people will pack in to like one of those beautiful, like usually where the ballet is or something along those lines, and then they pay like 150 to 450 bucks to listen to you just tell stories.
Well, but then they also have this this other racket where they have like the VIP, and so it's like $1,100, and then you get to meet him and take a picture. And so Al's just sitting here. He's like, that's another $1,000. Pretty good gig for Al Pacino.
Shoo-wee.
And certainly for that other guy as well. This one. So it's strange how it's written. It said, I would definitely spend my time with you, David. I am your biggest fan, bro.
Down the alarm.
It was a text. I don't know.
You don't know if that's a guy. Do you know if that's a guy or not? That could be a woman.
Maybe.
Anything is possible on the internet, you know?
She called me bro and David, so I don't know.
I feel like the David part's a woman thing, and the bro part, maybe she's a truck chick.
Maybe. Bill said, Mia Khalifa, based on the job titles I've seen her hold, she has been a trainer, a maid, a realtor, a cook. I think she'd be perfect.
She's
so annoying to me.
She is.
I know a lot of people, a lot of girls are very Team Mia, but I'm not. I'm not down with the Mia Khalifa.
I'm going pro. Like, give me like Lisa Ann or somebody who's like been around the business for like.
He wants
a
seasoned veteran.
Yeah,
that's right.
Give me Alexis Texas or Riley Reid or something.
Krista Canyon.
Is it Texas Alexis or am I getting that wrong or is it Alexis Texas?
I think there's two different ones. I think they've just reversed them.
they've morphed into one at this point.
This one's interesting. Audrey, tell me if you're on board with this. Chris Evans. He's so nice to look at and can hold a conversation.
I like Chris Pratt better.
Really?
I feel like Chris Pratt would get annoying, though, if you were locked up with him. No?
Chris Pratt, not for me. Like,
I think he is so funny and so handsome. I am very team Chris Pratt.
His characters seem like, playing Star-Lord, Guardians of the Galaxy. I like that so much more than I liked Captain America, you know. But I think Chris Evans, as far as like a good dude, like as soon as Chris Pratt became like got fit and got, you know, got super famous, he left his wife like immediately, who was already famous. And whereas I feel like Chris Evans is just kind of like the better dude overall, right?
You think?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't have any.
We can meet in the middle and go with Chris Pine. How about that?
No.
No, I feel like Chris Pine's just always judging me. I don't know why. Like, just that look. He's just a little too handsome and a little too smoldery. You know what I'm talking about?
Speaking of that, somebody texted us and said that they would. There's a lot of thirsty people out here, but somebody messaged and said Jason Momoa.
Jason Momoa. What about
without the muscles?
Ian and I were talking about if you saw scrawny
and the
like that, even better. What about Jason Bateman? I mean, we were talking about Ozark earlier, but I mean, Jason Bateman seems like he's got a lot of layers to him, and he's very interesting and funny.
We just had a super moon, man. You know, he would have straight up turned into Teen Wolf. It ruined the entire quarantine.
Some people just want their quarantine to be weird. This one got texted over to us a moment ago. It said, Hunter S. Thompson. Like, what are you doing, man?
Yeah. Yes.
And this one makes a lot of sense.
Going for a ride.
Yeah, it said, definitely anyone but Mahoney.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Dave Mahoney, how much more of an ass has Dana White made of himself since he's going through all these ridiculous measures to try to make his UFC event still happen, buying a private island? What a ridiculous, ridiculous ambition he has, and risking the health of the fighters and their family because got to get that almighty dollar, even though not many people are going to watch. Like, even like wrestling is taking a giant hit, and they always, we still have like 2 million people. Yeah, no.
Message deleted.
So you probably heard by now that UFC 249, which was supposed to go down on the 18th, is now canceled as well. There was all this talk of a private island, and that, of course, didn't happen. And then there was the talk of it's going to happen in California at Tachi Palace, which is about 40 miles outside of Fresno. Even though the resort and the casino are shut down, they were still going to hold the fight card there. And then what I'm hearing is that the governor of California called the head of Disney and the head of ESPN and said, guys, can you stop this nonsense from going on? And that's when they called the UFC and said, hey, look, stop this. Because California has actually done a pretty good job of flattening the curve. And obviously there's a lot of places in California that are taking this incredibly seriously. And so, I can see why the governor would step in and go, you know what, we don't want to be the one state in the entire country or really even world at this point that's hosting
falling in line.
That's hosting a sporting event when literally we also just simultaneously told everyone in Los Angeles they have to wear face masks when they go outside. So how about we make sure that this doesn't happen? And so they shut it down, and all UFC events have since been shut down. It didn't really surprise me. I mean, Dana White's the sort of guy, like, you tell him that he can't do something, and it makes him want to do it even more. But I think that it's a good thing that this one got shut down. There's just no need for a fight card to be happening at this point. There's too much risk and not enough reward.
Yeah, I mean, it's just too, you know, I understand that there is a need for sports right now and that people are craving some sort of sports. This is, you know, this is the longest that we, you know, entertainment in general, you know, but there are plenty of outlets on Netflix and Hulu. And I know Audrey just watched Onward on Disney Plus last night.
Oh, I broke. I was not prepared for that. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, there's other things to watch. Yeah, Onward if you haven't seen it yet.
Ian just broke. He watched Ozark. He finished that last night. So we are in the golden age, and we've talked about this a lot on the show. We're in the golden age of television, right? Like, we have so many entertainment options. There's so many good shows out there right now, and they're so accessible. Even though we always will find a way to complain and talk about how this is so terrible being locked down, we're still living in 2020 where almost everyone has access to high-speed internet and streaming and all sorts of shows, and there's so much entertainment out there that's readily available. I don't feel like we really have a lot to complain about. Sure, we like sports, but yeah, we're talking about life and death. I think we can all do without a fight card on the 18th.
Yeah, go in if you're feeling like you need some competition, go turn on Jeopardy. There's like 16 seasons across all platforms. Or if you're feeling a little frisky, go turn on Guy's Grocery Games. We love some Guy Fieri.
I saw a bunch of people that were talking about the challenge airing on MTV right now. They just fired up a new season, and that's if you want to see people physically challenging each other, that's a good one for you.
And our buddy TJ Lavin's the host, so support him.
Has quarantine forced any of you to actually attempt a nice dinner with your significant other? I mean, look, prepared a meal in the morning, get everything going, then later set up a nice place to eat, lighting some candles, you know, the whole thing.
Message deleted.
You had me up into the candles.
Yeah, I mean, let's not kid ourselves, but I mean, like nice dinners, well, you know, where you're putting thought into it, and I mean, that seems like the norm as opposed to the exception at this point, right? Because you literally have so much extra time on your hands. If you wanted to cook a dish or dishes, you know, and make a nice dinner, a multi-course meal, even maybe a dessert that you've put together or bought at the store, yeah, for sure.
I made my wife a quesadilla last week. Does that count?
Wow, a delicacy.
I mean,
so last night we had steak, and do you guys want to me to show you what the morning after looks like? This is
steak and egg
bowl. An egg bowl. And,
with that Tabasco on top. There, oh, my gosh. That looks like, first of all, that bowl is amazing.
Yeah,
and secondly,
my wife's awesome.
Oh, my gosh. And secondly, that looks like it's like from a straight up like one of those healthy protein places. Like that is a steak and eggs protein bowl.
There's a lot of protein in that bowl. So I don't really plan on doing any exercise today. But in case I do,
I'm missing some quinoa.
that's the only thing that's missing.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Ian, man, I saw you waited in line for 2 hours the other day for some weed. Would you do that again?
Message deleted.
If you want weed, it doesn't seem like you have much of a choice, though, right, Ian?
Yeah, at this point, not here where we are at, but I actually drove past that establishment yesterday, and that line was like a mile and a half long.
Yikes.
So I have a feeling 2 hours now is going to turn into like 4 hours. But I really respect the business for at least trying to get people in there, getting them their medicine. But no, I wouldn't wait 2 hours again. No,
how much as far as your rationing has gone? How much do you have left?
Oh, I'm doing just fine.
This quarantine
has not really spiked my intake at all, really. I'm more of a midnight toker, if I may. So that's really it. Just gets me to bed. It's not like
you
I'm
and Steve Miller.
Okay. Yeah, man, it's not like I'm cheating down, you know, every second of every day. But 2 hours, again, just a waste of time. And I don't like being outside, even in a car. So it just makes me uncomfortable. So, no, I would not do that again.
Have you thought maybe that you do have anxiety if you don't like being outside in a car? Maybe you should smoke a little bit more weed and not just take bong rips at midnight?
Just a CBD dabs.
Keep doing what you're doing.
Maybe.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So this is a wild story. The former Tennessee Titans star, Chris Johnson, I don't know if you guys remember him. He played in the NFL not too long ago. He is reportedly being accused of orchestrating a murder-for-hire plot to kill the two men. And now these two men, they did shoot him and his friend, killed his friend back in 2015. This was actually when Chris Johnson was playing for the Tennessee Titans. He's 34 now. He has not been charged yet with a crime, but it's believed that he paid an alleged gang member to kill the suspected gunman in two different hits in January and July of 2016. While the two dead gunmen who allegedly shot the three-time Pro Bowler have not been identified by police, they believe that the 2015 drive-by shooting was a gang-related murder attempt on Chris Johnson.
Insane.
So, according to the spokesperson for Chris Johnson, quote, there's no validity to these accusations. Okay. But essentially, Johnson's accused of paying a hitman to kill the men that he blamed for the 2015 shooting. The retaliation hits that Bolden is accused of committing occurred in January 2016 and January of 2016 and then July of 2016. According to law enforcement sources, Chris Johnson provided funds and an individual who could supply cash to this hitman with as much narcotics as he needed to supply the drug trafficking organization. What's pretty wild is, I mean, you think about a guy who's, you know, a Pro Bowler and who had, you know, so much going for him, just couldn't shake what, you know, was, whether you want to call it a past life or friends that were a really bad influence. And now here we are, you know, a handful of years later, and they're talking about potentially charging this guy who did lose his friend, sadly, in the shooting and also got shot himself. He recovered. He was just fine. But it was a childhood friend of his that ended up getting killed. He was shot in the shoulder and has been fine, but he called it a life-changing experience because, of course, it is when you almost get killed. But now they're saying that he tried to hire a hitman for retaliatory hits and kill these guys. So pretty wild stuff, man.
I think that it's so sad whenever you see these, you know, these star athletes. And I immediately, whenever you said people who you're hanging around with in a past life or whatever happens and you just can't quite shake it, like I instantly think Aaron Hernandez.
Oh, mm-hmm. Of course. Yep. I mean, this just screams that whole situation right there. And it's just so sad because, you know, these people have the ability to change their entire, like, you know, future generations for, you know, with the amount mm-hmm. of money that they've made in the NFL and the talent that they have to shape generations of family members. And, you know, that you just blow it all away because you can't get away from what you used to do.
So Royal Caribbean is being sued. Yes, the cruise line. There was a convention. It's a big convention. It's called NurseCon at Sea, where a whole bunch of nurses will go out and they'll, you know, have this convention, but it's on a cruise ship. Well, of course, obviously, with everything that's going on right now, that has been canceled. Unfortunately for them, the folks at Royal Caribbean reportedly did not refund the money to all 1,500 nurses who were scheduled to attend before this outbreak happened. Hey, Royal Caribbean, I know that you're going through it right now. This is not the time to be screwing around with nurses.
No.
Pay them their money. Like, you could literally be messing with anyone right now except for doctors, nurses, and the people on the front lines. But the fact that they're having to file a class action suit to try to recoup their money when obviously these cruises aren't happening, and especially because it's nurses, do the right thing, Royal Caribbean. This is way beyond a PR disaster at this point.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I feel like all of these cruise ships kind of are really in a marketing and a PR nightmare. And for them to go against nurses, they might be at the top contender for people who are going to not be paying their money in cruise lines in the future.
Yeah, so I don't know if you need to sell off like the Oasis of the Seas, but like pay them their money. This is a really bad look.
So for me, we've got, you know, we had a cruise set up for the summer with Disney Cruise Line, my wife and I did. And we were going to go do an Alaskan cruise. And for us, we were concerned because obviously they closed down Canada to no ship over 500 people is going to be allowed to dock until July. And our cruise was in June. So Disney just said, hey, here's what we're going to do. We're either going to give you a 125% credit of your entire cruise that you can use within 15 months, or we'll just give you every single penny that you put down, and the entire thing, we'll give it right back to you. You know, you can get your choice of what you want to do. And, you know, it was real easy. Just did it on their website, and we're very communicative about all of that, and I could not be happier about that. We are personally not going to push it down. I mean, 120, you know, another 25% would go a long way, but, you know, who knows what times ahead may lead. So for us, we're just going to take all the money back and just hold on to it as a, you know, a nice little extra as, you know, a little nest egg just in case things get worse.
So this is an interesting story about some vigilante justice. So a 29-year-old by the name of Thomas Beachold, he was arguing with another driver at an intersection in Valley Springs, California, which is about 50 miles outside of Sacramento. And then he got back in his car and he hit the guy that he was arguing with while he was standing in the street. Now, the other driver was knocked out, but it sounds like he's going to be okay. Meanwhile, this dude, the 29-year-old Thomas, drove off and just left the guy that he just run over in his car. Cops didn't have any leads at first, but they got a phone call 3 hours later from someone who had told them to go back to the scene of the crime. When they got there, they found the guy, Thomas, who ran over this other dude, beaten and bruised, tethered to a telephone pole with his hands tied behind his back. So apparently somebody followed him from the scene and got some sweet vigilante justice. It's still not even clear who beat him up and left him there, but now he's facing multiple charges for battery, assault with a deadly weapon, felony hit and run, and attempted murder.
And he got his ass beat.
At all.
Is Batman outside of Sacramento? Is that what's going on now?
Yeah, it sounds like it, man. That
I am Batman.
And also,
they're talking about a baseball bat this time instead of an actual animal. I don't mess with people.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
So another week in quarantine, and you'd think that we would have really nailed it once again, and unfortunately, we have not. There have been a lot of gaffes this week as we have been broadcasting from our home studios around the city. Ian, as you put together the blooper reel this week, what really struck you?
Now, Dave, obviously with us being all in quarantine, it's a different system, so obviously we had some technical issues, but what I was really concerned with was the fact that even though you guys are at your house, you still don't know how to talk. Especially Audrey.
You are so rude.
I'm the one who puts it together. Don't shoot the messenger in this, honestly.
Oh, gosh. I'll learn someday.
But, guys, overall, this blooper reel, I give you a solid D. It's a solid D.
I don't want a solid D from you, ever.
That's the first time that anyone's ever said I have a solid D. Let's have a listen.
It's the it's the blooper reel.
Airlines want $50 billion in bailouts cash from the government, but they've spent $45 billion on stock buyback. Airlines want $50 billion in bailouts cash.
Right. Last thing we need during the middle of a pandemic is, you know, families with little kids who, you know, have been laid off getting evicted. Man, that just is going to exacerbate the problem. And I think this is some good leadership on his part. Man, that just is going to exacerbate the problem.
We've got down another weird cornhole.
We got a lot of free time. Cornhole?
We've got down another weird cornhole.
We got a lot of free cornhole.
Charlene said Fragile Rock.
Fragile Rock.
Yeah.
It's not Fragile Rock. It's Fraggle Rock, you people.
Charlene said, said Fragile Rock.
Madea's Dead is not going to make the all-time greatest movie list. I mean, but he is a good person.
You better say her name right. It's Madea.
Madea.
Madea's Dead is not going to make the all-time greatest movie list. I mean... But he is a
you
good person.
You better say her name right. It's Madea.
There's certain levels of Alice in Wonderland that you want to be in. You don't want to be where the Cheshire Cat... Chester? You don't want to be where the Cheshire Cat... Chester Cat?
We've got down another weird cornhole.
Man, that just is going to exacerbate the problem.
Fragile Rock. $50 million in mail, but
Madea's Dead is not going to make the all-time greatest movie list. I mean... But he is a
you
good person.
Say her name right. It's Madea.
Catch the David Mahoney Morning Show. Weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
Oh, jeez Louise.
Oh, man.
Whoopsie.
All right. We're good at our jobs.
Great job.
Indeed. So we got some local top stories coming up in just a moment. And Mahoney, are we going to go live? Or what's
we
the
are live right now.
We are
Dave.
Live right now.
We're,
okay, good.
We are live right
great.
Now. Yes.
Just wanted to make sure. Good.
Did you I had catch, to do my hair. I had to do my
you?
Hair.
Is that really what you were doing?
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So for those of you that want to watch along, we just launched a Facebook Live of the stream, so you can watch there if you'd like to, at David Mahoney on Facebook. And to start things off for the live stream, we really had a treat there a moment ago. Audrey's husband walked into the frame, and he is wearing your dog on his vest. But you've probably seen the kids, like when they're strapped to a parent's chest in one of those little baby holders. But Andrew has one for your little dog, Blue.
For Blue. I wonder if I can get him back in here. I don't know if he can hear me or not. But if you can hear me, come back in here. So that we had to delete it earlier. But hopefully, here he comes. Yeah, I don't know why. I mean, I guess both of us are having baby fever. I really don't know why else this would happen. But here we go. If you're watching on the live stream, there is my dog.
Yeah. And he is just so chill about the entire thing, too. Yeah, he's just like,
oh, my God, that's the cutest thing in the world.
Yep. So this is the kind of
oh, he's doing it again. Rupert.
Rupert just keeps licking his parts.
Their other dog, Rupert, just starts licking his junk as soon as he sees him there. It's like a little sex
quite a
swing.
Mess.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Oh my God! So anyway, we We have some top stories that we should probably get to here so we don't get too distracted by what's going on over there. If you live in the Henderson area and you've been hoping to be able to get liquor to your house and delivered, now they are actually going to allow it. So the city of Henderson announced it will temporarily allow the delivery of alcohol to residences within the city limits during the ongoing business closures that are happening during this coronavirus pandemic. So commercial establishments holding a full liquor license, brew pubs, wineries, craft distilleries, can now deliver alcoholic beverages until the declared end of the non-essential business ban. So for those in Henderson that don't want to go out, obviously you have to be at least 21 years old in order to do this. Delivery by a third-party service is not allowed, so that means that the individuals that are actually selling it, that have the liquor license, that have something to lose, have to be responsible for it. So it's not going to be necessarily the fastest thing in the world as a lot of these establishments start to ramp this up. But it's really good for business owners and the employees of those establishments who want to be able to make a little bit of extra money during this very trying time.
That's awesome. I know, if I lived over in that area, I would immediately hit them up.
Well, absolutely. I mean, we want to support small businesses as much as we can. And you know, obviously, this is not like one of those things where it's a non-essential item. I would say, you know, a lot of us have the need for a decent amount of liquor, especially going into the weekend. So, you know, there's lots of liquor stores down there. I saw that our buddy over at Corey's, he's delivering again. Obviously, Lee's,
nice.
Top Shelf is delivering liquor lineup. So we've got a whole bunch of different liquor shops that are back in business, and so support them, because again, you know, it's like ever hurting just like everybody else, and if we want to find some way to kill some time, that's the perfect way, in my opinion.
I agree.
Hell yeah.
Yep. If you want to sit around this weekend especially and have yourself a beverage or two, and you don't want to leave the house in order to go get it, this is a fantastic way to go out getting some alcohol if you're in the Henderson area specifically. Allegiant is obviously has the naming rights to the new Raiders stadium, but they are they're hurting right now because they're a Las Vegas based airline, and it says that Allegiant Air's parent company is burning about $2 million per day in cash, and hundreds of workers are taking a two-month leave at half pay as the carrier tries to figure out what to do with this whole coronavirus pandemic. So the company that's, again, based here said it has been hit with unprecedented cancellations, and last month's revenue will be around 40 to 45% lower than it was in March of 2019. And that's just when, you know, like half of the month of March is when everything really kind of hit the skids.
Mm-hmm.
So April, I imagine, is going to be a total wash. So declining travel could wipe out some 5.9 million jobs by the end of April, and the expected loss of $910 billion in travel-related economic output this year, which is
insane.
seven times the impact of what happened after September the 11th.
Wow. Let me ask you this.
I'm seeing
a lot of people who are not actually flying right now, and I'm seeing like one or two people on an airplane. We have to think that they're disinfecting it, right? Would you feel comfortable flying? If it was for work,
yeah.
I mean, because there's nobody technically on the planes.
Yeah, I mean, there's almost no jobs right now that where you are being required to go get on an airplane. But yeah, I mean, if you had to travel right now, this is easily the best time to travel because you have an entire plane to yourself, and the airports are ghost towns and everything else. So, not that you want to travel, but if there's something essential that you have to travel for, I would choose traveling now over any other time for sure.
So this is where you say, I mean, the difference between here and post 9/11, you know, because at post 9/11, I was not scared at all to fly. I was not, because I knew that the security, I mean, obviously, if anybody who flew post 9/11, you know, for the first, you know, year or so, that security was unbelievable. I mean, they changed everything back then, and I was scared to fly then. Right now I am, because it's not like we can get a security check and make sure that somebody doesn't have a knife or a bomb or something that they're sneaking through. It's the weapon that they're sneaking through is the sickness, and they may not know if they have it or not.
Yeah,
so
but I mean, what's the difference between that and going to the grocery store or going to Home Depot?
Yeah, because I mean, there's not that many people on these airplanes. You're not in the front, one in the back.
But that's not actually how they've been loading them up. I mean, there's been stories where they've been putting in the same row for weight reasons and things like that. They've kind of messed that up as well. And the difference is there's circulated air and you're all in a metal tube, whereas at least in a grocery store, you have a little bit more width and breath to move around. But personally, I haven't gone to a grocery store either. You know, I picked up, which I will say, props to Walmart for the trunk
actually,
and curbside pickup. That was phenomenal.
Yeah, I apologize to step in, but for the actual like radio side of things, you're breaking up pretty bad. So we'll just do this one last story, and then we'll bounce out. But a whole bunch of people here in Las Vegas are actually hopping online right now and playing online poker. So if you haven't done it here in Las Vegas and you have that that itch and you want to game a little bit because normally you're able to, that's something that's happening right now in record numbers, they're saying, at WSOP.com. And then finally, this one is really important. 2 million surgical masks. A million that are designated right here for Southern Nevada have been brought in from China thanks to the Las Vegas Sands. So we've talked a lot about how Sheldon Adelson and his group have done a really masterful job with handling this crisis, and a big part of that is paying their employees. Well, how about this? 2 million surgical masks coming in to the United States, and 1 million of them going directly to the people right here in Southern Nevada. So whether you agree with his politics or not, doesn't really matter. Well done, Sheldon Adelson. 1 million masks going to Albany, New York, which obviously we know New York is being hit the hardest, and then another 1 million coming directly to Southern Nevada. So amazing job done by the Las Vegas Sands Corp. Just fantastic work done through and through, helping to support the community during this very trying time.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
So this is one of our favorite new features. It's called Celeb Dread, and it's where celebrities get forced to do something that they don't want to do, which is normally promotion, right? Like, they're stuck sitting there promoting some movie, promoting some book, some tour that they're going to be going on, and they like doing the arty part of it, right? Like the actual acting. But when it comes to the forced promotion that they're contractually bound to do, which is part of the reason they get paid so handsomely to begin with, many times it doesn't go that well. And so that's what this feature is all about, is highlighting some of those really awful, cringeworthy moments. And Audrey, this idea kind of started with you because you always talk about how you get embarrassed so heavily for other people that you'll actually start sweating.
Yeah, secondhand embarrassment. Yeah. It's real.
And so I figured that if we were going to make you profusely sweat, maybe even through your sweatshirt today, this would be the way to do it.
Oh, good. Okay, can't wait.
So the first one here is Quentin Tarantino. And we know that Quentin Tarantino, just kind of as a rule, generally is difficult to deal with. And Quentin Tarantino, in this case, was sitting down doing some promotion for, was it a movie, Ian? Is that what he was supposed to be promoting?
Yes, so he was doing the rounds promoting Django Unchained, and he actually sat down with Martin Bashir. Now, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Martin, but he was the one who's very famous. He did the Living with Michael Jackson documentary. He is very cutthroat when it comes to his interview questions, and Quentin was not having it in this particular interview.
Here is good old Quentin Tarantino.
But why are you so sure that there's no link between enjoying movie violence and enjoying real violence?
I'm going to tell you why I'm so sure. Don't ask me a question like that. I'm not biting. I refuse your question.
Why?
Because I refuse your question. I'm not your slave and you're not my master. You can't make me dance to your tune.
I'm not
a monkey.
Make you answer anything. I'm asking you interesting questions.
And I'm saying I refuse.
Okay. Well, no, I was just asking you why. That's fine. But you see, Jamie Foxx has said, we can't turn our back and say that violence in films
or
anything
you should talk
that
to
we
Jamie
Fox do doesn't
you,
have a source
then you
of
should
influence.
Talk to Jamie Foxx about that. And I think he's actually here, so you can.
I'd love to. But, I mean, it's interesting that you have a different view, and I'm just trying to explore that.
Yeah, and I don't want to. Because I'm here to sell my movie. This is a commercial for the movie. Make no mistake.
Well, you have views. So you don't want to talk about anything serious?
I don't want to talk about what you want to talk about. I don't want to talk about the implications of violence.
Yikes. So I think that he was feeling attacked in that question because obviously Quentin Tarantino makes a lot of violent films. So was he under the implication that he was saying your films incite violence?
Well, so if you recognize the guy's voice, the guy who was doing the interview was that kind of obnoxious guy. If you remember that series on Michael Jackson where he was following him around and Michael Jackson was buying up all that crazy stuff, that guy who is, I don't even know if you'd really classify him as a reporter or more of a lifestyle host. I don't even know, but he's kind of an obnoxious guy to begin with. And so the fact that Quentin melted down on him doesn't really shock me. This next one, though, is a bit surprising because you think about Quentin Tarantino, you're like notoriously difficult to deal with. Mm-hmm. What about Meg Ryan, though?
Yes. So,
you would think she would be
pretty easy,
right?
I can see her
easy,
being a diva. You think?
She was America's sweetheart for a decade. And then,
And then things fell apart for Meg. Yes, this particular interview is actually from the early 2000s. It's from a BBC show called Parkinson. And she was there promoting her film with Russell Crowe, Proof of Life. If you haven't seen it, don't do it. It's a terrible movie.
I think I saw that in the theater like 20 years ago.
Now Meg is very...
Probably on I mean, she was wearing a tank top. She looked hot, man, and I was 17, whatever.
Well, I like me some Meg Ryan. But she was very cold in this particular interview, and this is considered one of the worst TV interviews of all time.
Oh, wow.
I have actually two clips for you today. Here is clip number one of Meg Ryan.
You said once that, acting was not in your nature.
I did.
You did say that. Yes, okay. You did say that. Did you? Are you denying that you said that? I mean, it's not a day.
No, it seems like something I'd say.
All right, fine.
I think what I meant was that it just, always feels very awkward for me to be in front of an audience or in the spotlight. It doesn't come all that naturally.
So why do it?
I don't know. Maybe you can help me out with that.
No, I couldn't. It's for you to debate and tell me.
I don't know. I'm compelled, though.
Well, but you are a movie star.
Yes.
By choice.
Seemingly.
So, you've got a problem.
Yeah.
And it seems that one that's not going to be resolved on this show.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, see, just so cringe.
I don't know who I feel the worst for in that scenario. I don't feel bad for the interviewer. I feel like he was kind of antagonizing her a little bit.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, I mean, the way that he was kind of coming at her, he wasn't really giving her a lot of outs. Like, so that's what you do as somebody who's interviewing somebody, is you try to help them communicate their point, right? And say something that's interesting, and definitely you want to get a clip, if you will, you know, a newsworthy soundbite. But in that case, it just seemed like he kept pushing her buttons when he obviously had struck a nerve that made her made her feel uncomfortable.
It didn't seem like any of his questions were like that crazy. I think he was just going down a route, you know, obviously she didn't want to go down. But I think he still had his audience with him. You know, that's the thing. Like,
because he was poking her.
Yeah, but it also seemed like they were nervously laughing. Didn't it?
Like,
kind of an awkward laugh there.
Yeah. Well, we have one more clip, and this is actually where the whole interview just totally melts down, and she just calls.
Now that you're wary of journalists, I mean, does it give you an insight into what they're after?
Now that I'm wary of them.
Yes, you are wary of journalists. You're wary of me. You're wary of the interview. You don't like being interviewed. You can see it in the way that you sit and the way you are. That's you don't
True.
Like, don't you? So therefore, well, I mean, it's a perfectly easy question, a decent question to ask you about being a journalist. I mean, in other words, if you were me, what would you do now?
Well, just wrap it up.
Round of applause. Yeah.
Have you had time to look at the outfit? You know, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm very admiring of your shoes and the fact
Thank
that you can walk in them. They're so high.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I'm Team Meg Ryan on this one.
It's turned for the worst.
Broadcasting live from the Findlay Chevrolet Studios. This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Yeah, the fact that they brought in the chick at the end for the levity, like, oh, look at how tall your shoes are.
No.
I'm with you.
Glitz, glamour, fame, scandal, weight loss tea? It's Pop Trash!
So I know that you guys are going to be shocked by this. Bill O'Reilly has always been known as the sort of guy that shows a lot of empathy for others, especially people that are less fortunate than him. But believe it or not, the 70-year-old who appeared on Sean Hannity's radio show on Wednesday and was discussing the coronavirus pandemic is now getting a lot of blowback because he said this. Hannity was remarking to, hey, hold on, you're going to get hammered for saying that, to which Bill O'Reilly replied, well, I don't care. I mean, a simple man tells the truth. And then he said that people who are dying, quote, many people who are dying, both here and around the world, were on their last legs anyhow.
Oh, shut up. Oh, my God, you are a piece of garbage.
Ooh. He then,
hope you don't get sick. I really hope nobody you know or anybody that you care about gets sick. You heartless piece of crap.
I really thought we'd already flushed this turd. Hadn't we? I mean, I thought that he'd been kind of exiled, but I guess not.
When he was sending all the women in his office adult toys and pleasuring himself in awkward places. Yeah, I thought we were done with O'Reilly. So why is he back now? Is he hawking another book that he didn't write that he pretended that he wrote? Is that what's going on here?
He then did backpedal a little bit on his social media, saying the pandemic is extremely deadly, but not the Black Plague. So cool, because you being the seasoned doctor that you are, that has been studying disease and infectious disease at that your entire life. Thank you for weighing in on this, Bill. You dumb talking head, go away. O.J. Simpson is throwing a fit as well because golf courses have been shut down in the state of Nevada, as I'm sure that you've probably heard. And O.J. Simpson is a big golfer, and he is none too pleased about it. I play with a lot of different guys. One of the groups is an older group where three of the guys are over 80, and two of them had strokes. They don't have dogs to walk and couldn't if they didn't want to. Their only exercise is golf. So, unfortunately, they won't be able to play golf. So I just hope they find other ways to get outdoors and get some exercise. Hey, O.J., yeah, I mean, they literally... Like, just because they don't have dogs doesn't mean they can't go outside and walk.
And walk. Like, we knew he was going to say something.
It's against the law, guys. You can't go walk if you don't have a dog.
He's used to breaking it,
though. Since when does O.J. Simpson care about the sanctity of life? That's a new one to me.
Yeah, right?
Maybe it's just because it's not his ex-wife and one of her friends. Maybe that's what it is.
Ooh. So AMC, the movie theater, is close to the brink of bankruptcy as the coronavirus has put movies on pause. The cinema giant, which brought in a total revenue of just over $1.4 billion in the fourth quarter at the end of 2019, announced in mid-March that it would close its doors, obviously, with everything that's been going on. And now they are close. I mean, they have a lot of employees. So they have 33,000 screens in all 50 states, and they have 150,000 employees. And so they're asking the government for some help to stay afloat. But I'm curious to see if this is going to change just the way that movies are done in general. Like, are theaters going to be a thing of the past? I mean, there's some people that I know that like going to the movies, but for the most part, people will go to the movies not because of the experience at the theater, because for many years it had become much like the airline industry, where they would just cram as many people as humanly possible into a theater, and it became a terrible experience. And so for me, I know that if I never went to a movie theater again, I would
be perfectly fine
with it. Yeah.
Well, what about the ones that have the new reclining seats now?
I like those bougie theaters.
And I think that some, especially like war films, action films, you have to get that full-on surround sound experience. But for the most part, I agree.
Fast and Furious.
Oh, God.
Maybe that's a good thing. No, I'm with you. You need, for the big-time, dumb summer blockbuster, I feel like the superhero movies all do much better from being in the theater. But the problem is with the theater, I feel like, obviously, you know, people are going to be concerned being in close proximity to other people. But the theater experience just over the last couple of decades has just eroded to the point of, like, if you try to go to a movie on a Friday night and you're an adult, boy, what are you thinking? Because people are going to be talking, the phones. It's just the common courtesy that it used to exist inside of a movie theater is gone now. And I'm with you, you know, like, I don't want to see people lose their jobs, but I feel like it's, you know, I feel like at this point, I don't ever want to go to a weekend movie ever again for the rest of my life. I'm with you in that regard, Dave.
And we've seen during this pandemic that they've just released a lot of the movies that are out in theaters, and they're charging a premium, you know, so I mean, in order to rent it a lot of times, it's $20, but I mean, that's cheaper than going to the movies anyhow.
And for two people,
And especially if you stop and get snacks and everything else. So for
Disney
me,
only charge $20, man, for Onward. I mean, you bought Onward, legit for $20, like right out the gate. I know the Universal ones, like The Invisible Man and a couple of the other ones that they released, you said those were renting for $20.
Renting for $20. But I mean, so for me as a parent of two kids, though, if the wife and I go to a movie, I mean, we're paying for a babysitter for multiple hours.
Right.
We're paying for the movie tickets. We're paying for all the concessions. You know, I have to have at least two bottles of wine while I'm there. Otherwise, I don't feel like I'm really having an experience. Yeah, I mean, that's just what you do. But no, I mean, really, I mean, it's a really expensive thing to go out just in general. And normally for me, if I go to a movie theater, that's the most likely experience that is going to be that is going to be bad, right? Because someone can so easily ruin that by sitting there talking or playing on their phone
or
whatever
phone,
it is.
Yeah.
So I would just as soon not go to the movies ever again. And if this is going to be something that changes it. Meanwhile, there's one final story here. Disney Plus now has 50 million paid subscribers globally,
wow.
Which has put its subscriber goal 4 years ahead of schedule. How about
Whoa.
That?
Whoa. 4 years? Not shocking.
I mean, we knew this was going to be huge, and I think they've done a decent, like, when The Mandalorian ended, I mean, I feel like the talk of The Mandalorian really pushed a lot of people who probably weren't super Disney fans, like, who want the entire vault collection and to be able to watch for their kids, but for, you know, grown men who maybe don't have kids like myself, go, you know, I got to get on the Star Wars thing,
because
Baby Yoda
because
is
it wasn't very
Disney-esque,
right? Like, it didn't feel fantastical in a sense, other than, obviously, a little bit green baby alien thing, but I mean, other than that, it's a more action-packed.
They've done a great job with The Mandalorian, and since then they've done a good thing, like putting Frozen 2 on there very quickly,
mm-hmm.
and having Onward on demand. You know, I mean, very quickly as well. So
is Trolls on there today?
Trolls is
out
today. Yeah,
that's don't even mix those two.
It's not on Disney Plus, but it is out today. Yes, for rent.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. And as soon as the show is over, you're jumping on that?
Oh, yeah. My daughter was literally just knocking on the door while we're trying to do this break because she knows today is Trolls Day. So.
Oh, God.
You got your big Trolls afro ready?
It's
Trollstice.
It's Trollstice.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Now, I remember this one day at my old job many years ago. I was working at a bike shop, and for some reason, I got a phone call. And I kid you not, it was Howard Stern. It was the Howard Stern Show. At first, I didn't believe it, but the guy sounded like Howard Stern. And then there was somebody else on the line. And I think it was his sidekick, that one guy's name, Artie Lang or something like that. And I was like, yeah, right. You know, when they're asking me a question, and then they told me it was Howard Stern. And I was like, okay, whatever, buddy. And I hung up, and my boss was like, who's that? And I'm like, some guy pretending to be Howard Stern. And then, I kid you not, about maybe like a month later, my boss was looking through the phone records, and he saw that there was a call that got placed from New York. And it came from that number, so I'm kind of guessing that maybe that was Howard Stern. But why would he randomly call me at work?
Message deleted.
Oh, man. You missed the call of a lifetime there, buddy.
Yes, you did.
Did he? I mean,
Or
you saved yourself a lifetime's worth of embarrassment because, I mean, what could Howard Stern possibly be calling you for that would be a good thing, right? I mean,
At a bike shop.
Like, he's not just going to call some random guy and be like, how would you like $1 million? Like,
he's not Ellen DeGeneres. That is true.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If Ellen or Oprah call you, then you're in good shape. If it's Howard Stern, you're about to lose your dignity forever, man. Punch out. Good call, Andy. Well done.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Dave, you have too many catchphrases. Tone it down, man. Never been. Seems lovely. Be better people. I hate my kids. I have a stupid, ugly bear. Just stop, dude. None of those are going anywhere.
Message deleted.
You say that a lot, Dave.
What do I say a lot? Never been sure it's lovely?
Never been sure it's lovely.
Yeah, I do.
That's definitely one. Be better.
That's intentional.
I think the be better is a newer one for you. During the
pandemic, while people are walking around licking doorknobs and subway poles, yes, be better. Uh-huh. And what was the other one?
I hate my kids.
I hate my kids.
That's what he said.
I'm going to have to pause the audio.
He doesn't say he hates his kids. That's not a
catchphrase. That's an observation. It's just me being honest with myself. Come on.
And these aren't catchphrases. These are crutches. These are what we say when the hamster inside of our head is running too damn slow. They're called crutches, not catchphrases.
Yeah, it's just us stalling so we can try to come up with something clever, which never actually
be
happens.
Better, guys. Be better.
Leave a message after the tone.
Are any of you guys, you know, going so insane that you're dreaming up business ventures that you're going to take on, you know, when you finally get out the house? I already thought of like four already.
but I want to start, you know, when I get the hell out of this godforsaken place. It's driving me crazy.
Message deleted.
I wish you would have said it so I could have stolen. Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
And what are you doing? We put out our brilliant, you know, million-dollar ideas all the time.
Meatplug.com. I mean,
Brojo.com, Taekwon Bro.
The Blizz Dog. I mean, they're all very meat-related now that I think about it.
Yeah, we're very
meat-heavy, yes. we're gonna have no vegan customers whatsoever.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Well, all right then. Happy Friday, friends.
You know, you would think that it would be less awkward, but nope.
What do you mean awkward? How is this awkward at all?
No, just your intro is always so strange.
Well, all right. Well, because I'm multitasking. I'm doing several things. I'm directing. I'm composing. I'm getting the segment ready for air and for video and all of the things that we're doing. I've got a lot of stuff happening over here, Dave.
Mahoney Scorsese.
Yeah. That's right.
Mahoney, what you're doing right now is a limited version of what I do every single day to try to make this show go. So now you understand what it feels like to have to simultaneously push buttons while talking to you.
What was that word again?
Simultaneously. It's the Sean Connery version of simultaneously. It's simultaneously. So we are doing Beer for Breakfast on a Friday morning, all from our respective home studios. And we certainly appreciate you being with us. It is been another strange week, but so it goes. You know, so we're all going to sit around and enjoy some ice-cold beers together. And Mahoney, I'll let you take it from here. How do you want to start this one?
You start off, Dave. Tell us what you're drinking and show us what you're drinking.
All right. So I was getting some steaks yesterday, and I was like thinking I have to go out and get some steaks for dinner and then also some beer for breakfast. And actually at the place where I buy my steaks, they actually have a little cooler where they sell beer. And I found this little guy. So this is the Stone Scorpion Bowl IPA.
Ooh, nice. Bite the label.
Yeah, I love that can.
At the bottom, it says a punch to the stinger, and it's got 7.5% alcohol by volume. So let me just go ahead and
love it.
Crack it open there. I even brought, didn't that sound crisp?
And then it did. She gonna be clean. Oh wow. Oh, you're gonna get a lot of foam.
Oh, wow. Oh Lord. That's right.
Oh, no foam. Look at good that. Pour. That's a perfect pour. Atta boy. Oh,
he's showing
like
off
about
his old
a,
outback bartending skills right
that's
there.
Right. Yes, that's right. Are. Would you care for
and
a blue
actually has a glass
friend?
Today.
Yeah.
Which
I brought my own glass in. Yeah, I did. So,
is that how much beer is in there? Like in the whole can? Or
No. I stopped a little early because I had a pretty good pour going, and I didn't want to screw it up.
Mess it up.
if we're being real, but let me just go ahead and take a little sip here.
Little sip.
Okay. Wow. Oh, it's all gone. Oh, geez, Louise.
Jesus.
Whoa, we're feeling a little chuggy chugger.
Let's get a little taste. I will give you guys the
one sip. Everyone knows the rules. Chugs the whole beer.
Oh my God.
I will give you guys the review after we kind of go around the horn here and see what everyone else is drinking. So, Mahoney, what are you going to be sipping on today, my friend?
What I am drinking on, my friends, we are going big. We are going expensive. We are going. This has been a hell of a month. So the thing that I'm going to be drinking, if it will ever focus on it, which it doesn't seem to want to, is the Balvenie. I'll just put it up near my head. Hey, it's
the
Balvenie.
I was
going
to say, you got to do what the influencers do. You have to put your hand behind the labeling.
Slowly move my face towards the camera. There we go. Hey, guys. So I will be drinking the Balvenie 21. This is a readily available scotch. It's aged in port wood, and it's a classic. If you are looking for a gift to get, I mean, somebody who is special to you, I mean, around Christmas, your dad, your grandpa, Christmas, birthdays, you can never go wrong with the 21 or the 15. The 21 is extra special, in my opinion. You're looking at about $150 a bottle, so it is very pricey. Woo. But when you're talking about the prices of some of the
Christmas
bourbons and
gift.
Stuff that
yeah.
are out there right now, this is right in that range of those, like, you know, really good bourbons if you're looking, like, for a Weller 12. And I think this blows that out of the water with an extra 9 years of aging on that. So that's what I will be drinking today.
Let's see how far he pours it. Let's see how far he goes. Oh,
let's see. Okay.
I still see cube. Okay, I still see cube. I respect that pour.
Yeah, you're right.
Yes. So I'm going to be drinking. Same with you, Dave. I went to the grocery store specifically to get toilet paper and beer, and they had no toilet paper. So I only left with beer and felt very weird as I was leaving the grocery store because it was one in, one out. And there was a bouncer there at the time. So I was like, oh, this is kind of reminiscent of a bar. So kind of cool. But I'm going with the Big Wave Golden Ale from Kona Brewing. And it's the first time I've ever had it. I'm not getting it. I'm not pouring it a glass. I don't want to do the dishes because I feel like I'm doing them way too frequently right now, and it's driving me crazy. So we're going straight out of the bottle, and it's a golden ale. So I'm kind of interested in ready to try her on now. Can we sip? Are we still sipping?
Oh, no. I mean, yeah,
you're forgetting Ian. How dare you not let Ian get in on this?
Guys, it is totally fine. I have not left the house in probably like 3-4 days to really do any sort of shopping. So I'm just drinking my leftover Blue Moon. I have two left. I plan on finishing both of them by the end of this segment, though. So nothing too special from the beer end on in the Ian household. But believe me, in the next couple of days, I definitely want to out and try to get some more craft.
Guys, cheers. Cheers to you all. Cheers to this week. Cheers to everybody watching. It has been a rough one. Oh, God. Some ships, you know, they're made of metal and made of wood, and the best ships are friendships, and that's the way it should be.
Oh, that's so cute. Spencer said, thank you guys for the entertainment. They're actually sitting in the hospital right now waiting for their second child. So cheers to you guys.
Ooh, yeah, that went a way different way than what I was expecting. Yeah. But congratulations.
I mean, Dave, you're going to be there in like a week or two, man. I mean, that's the thing.
I think it's closer than a week or two. I mean, it's definitely not a week or two. His original due date was the 27th, so that would be a little over 2 weeks away. But they said that they're going to induce on the 20th if he's not here before that. So that would be basically, it's a week from Monday. I think he'll arrive sometime next week. The wife is doing that whole like, oh, I'm so pregnant. And I'm like, I got to bring me another beer.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. No, she is definitely ready to go, though. No question about it. I mean, it's a strange time to be bringing a kid into the world, as you would expect. You know, it's just weird to think about, you know, going to the hospital.
He's going to pop out 40. He has aged so much in this past month. Like, he's going to pop out 40 years old.
He's going to look like Benjamin Button. He's just like, I'm exhausted. I'm ready to retire.
That was a rough ride, man.
I would retire, but my 401k has gone to hell.
It's gone.
Don't even look at it, baby. Don't even look at it.
So his first birthday, he asked for an RV.
Ready to hit the open road.
Hey, man.
That's right.
that RV life, I'm all about the small van life, but I wouldn't mind traversing the country in a big-ass RV.
You know, that seems cool, but I feel like you have to be kind of the middle of nowhere, right? Because the idea of trying to park an RV somewhere where it's not built for RV parking, or just driving through a town. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm like super self-conscious whenever I'm towing a boat or even like a U-Haul trailer or something. Like, I suck at that stuff. So the idea of driving like a big ass RV through the middle of a, you know, like a busy downtown area and just like trying to pull in and out of a McDonald's parking lot. I know that I'd clip that little
sign
that says drive through this way, and just, yeah. So that RV life seems cool in concept, in execution. Maybe not so much.
I don't know, man. I feel like, you know, right now, especially with quarantine, like you're basically quarantining anyway. You're going to, you know, obviously a lot of the national parks are closed down, but you can go anywhere. You can go literally anywhere you want to go.
Well,
you
I can am shocked, Mahoney, I mean, that you don't have an RV. Freedom.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't have the money for an RV. That's the problem. I spent all my money on
cruises.
This stupid video stuff we're doing here.
Oh, true, that too.
All that alcohol that he's pounding, the super expensive.
You could sell all of your bottles and get an RV.
You know how much? Like, I'm not talking like and again, you know, I can't afford it because they're going to be the price of a house. But like a good RV, you're looking in the upwards of about $100,000 to like $300,000, basically the same price as a house. And you know, unfortunately, unless you live in New Jersey and Billy Joel's one of your neighbors, it's very rare that your house is going to get hit by a car.
Oh.
Joel Byrne! Woo! Yeah!
So, for those of you that aren't aware, Billy Joel did drive
into that? Have you been?
He did drive into his neighbor's house while drunk, I think, a couple of times. Was it the same neighbor? They're like, God, William, would you quit?
Billy.
The piano man sucks. Well, on that note,
let's
just keep drinking.
Listen for reviews. Yeah, I was going to say, that's a really great drinking song.
Cheers. Beer for breakfast every Friday morning at 9:30 with Dave and Mahoney.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
Sex toy sales have tripled in New Zealand's coronavirus lockdown. This is probably not a surprise to a lot of people. We're seeing more and more of these stories start to emerge. Yesterday, of course, there was a story about all of the condoms that that are now appearing in shortage around the world. So if you're going to go to the store and hoard anything, depending on what your personal situation is, you know, that maybe should be something that you consider. But New Zealanders have been hoarding essentials around the world, like a lot of people have, but they also, I guess, are buying up all sorts of these adult toys, if you will, in order to try to get through this this lockdown period.
It's necessary sometimes. I mean, a lot of people are single. A lot of people aren't single, and you just need them from time to time. Men too. I mean, there's some toys for dudes.
It's way creepier for a dude to own a toy than it is for a woman, though.
No,
let's just be honest about that.
I disagree with that.
If I've got a giant blow up doll in my closet, and that falls out.
Of course, Mahoney, if you open your nightside stand and Mindy pops out, your blow-up doll, it's creepy.
Her name's not
Mindy.
What's her name? Sally?
Esmeralda.
It's Karen.
Just because you want to just...
Oh, my God, it's Karen. You just have, like, angry sex with
Debbie.
Karen, your blow-up doll.
Debbie.
Debbie. Debbie the downer. You're telling me that it's not as creepy for a guy to have one. So, Audrey, let's say that you went over to a guy's house that you were just starting to date, hypothetically.
Okay.
Here,
okay.
And you open up the nightside stand. Like, let's take it from a guy's perspective, and you see a girl, and she's got her little toy in there, and you're like, yeah, whatever, that's normal. You open up the guy's nightside stand, and there is a Fleshlight in there.
Yes. What do you think?
I think that what's the difference between him having that and me having mine? I mean, I think that I would be like, maybe we should kick this sex thing up a bit, because I think that the difference is like the initial thought of women go to, well, why do you have that? Are you not having enough sex? Are you having too much sex? Are you addicted to sex? what is the reasoning behind it? Because sometimes we just don't get ours. Okay, like let's just put that out there. You just gotta have it for your own self, for your own mental health.
The only reason a guy should own a Fleshlight, in my opinion, and if he lost both of his hands and he has hooks. That's the only reason.
He has hooks.
That's it.
They have prosthetics,
Captain
man.
Captain Hook.
No one puts hooks on hands.
Well, you can change out the hooks for, like, Fleshlights.
for just like one of those one of the hands like Stubbs had from Happy Gilmore, where it's just
rotating. Oh my God.
This is interesting. There's burn patients that are clogging up precious ICU beds. And the reason why, I mean, you say that, you know, burn victims, you're like, well, they certainly deserve an ICU bed as well if they need it. Well, the reason why there's so many burn victims all of a sudden is because all these people fancy themselves to be excellent home cooks. And so they're burning themselves while they're trying to cook at home. And they're ending up in the hospital. And as we know, you know, nationally, there's a huge shortage of these ICU beds. And so it's a big problem all of a sudden that that people are lighting themselves on fire when they're trying to make bacon for the first time in 4 years.
Yeah, don't cook.
Just
naked.
Put it in the
don't
oven.
Cook bacon naked.
Ever. Ever.
Ever.
And finally,
no matter what, because like, I mean, even when you feel like, because I mean, you like you wake up in the morning, you know, you're like, even if you're just wearing your boxers, you don't walk over to that skillet and throw some bacon down.
No way, man. I put on a snowmobile suit before I start cooking bacon. What are you talking about?
That little pop.
Oh my gosh.
When the bacon blows up, a little pop, and then it just gets right in the thigh. Oh my God.
In the thigh.
Yeah, you feel so violated. Yeah.
Or maybe you like it. I don't know. Everybody's got their own thing.
You take one step closer to the stove.
It's like, where's the candle wax?
You hurt me. I like that. is this like 50 Shades of Bacon? What is this? Burn me. And finally,
50 Shades of Gravy. 50 Shades of Gravy.
Yes.
I'd go see that movie.
I'd eat that movie.
It just takes you into the gravy room and just throws a bucket of gravy on you. You're like,
I need more.
God, you're such a weird billionaire, man. What's wrong with you?
Way out in the land of the setting sun, where the wind blows wild and free, there's
just the only one that means home sweet home to me. If you follow the old Kit Carson trail till the desert meets the hills, oh, you certainly will agree with me, it's the place of a thousand thrills. Home means Nevada, home means the hills, home means a sage in the pine. Out by the Truckee silvery rills, out where the sun always shines. Here is the land that I love the best, fairer than all I can see. She's deep in the heart of the Golden West. Home means Nevada to me. One more time now. Home means Nevada to me.